Lord, I just commit this word to you now, Father. I commit the rest of this service to you, Father. I pray that you would be glorified right now, Lord. Thank you that your presence is here, Lord, to just touch us, Lord. To show us your ways, Lord, that are so much higher than ours. Show us this morning what you have done on the cross. Show us this morning what you have made possible, Lord, for us. Living in 2015, Lord, thank you for heaven to invade earth, Lord, in Jesus' name. But start here with us, Lord. Show us how you're invading our lives, that we can invade this world with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. It's great to see you guys. Are you excited to be back? Amen. Isn't God good? Just turn to someone next to you and say, God is good and he loves you. Thank you, band. That was amazing. You guys, well, don't sit too comfortably. We're going to sing a little bit more later on. I'm really excited to be back. This is a different year. Amen. Anyone sensing like this is just a different, not to say the same old, every year is obviously different. But I really sense in my spirit this is a different year. Amen. Anyone feeling like that? If you don't, you'll get there, okay? You'll get there. But this morning, I'm really excited to talk about something that I'm really passionate about. I just felt the Lord, I'm not going to speak too long because I want us to, are you ready to practice this morning? Okay, sometimes church gets very like, you know, one person preaches, the rest listen, we all go home. But this morning, we're gonna engage a bit, okay? So I know you came with an expectation because if you weren't here this morning, or the fact that you're here means that you're expectant, okay? You didn't need to be here. If you weren't expecting anything, you wouldn't have been here. So I know that you guys are expectant for something. But I know also that God exceeds our expectations, amen? I don't know, whenever I've come to church and sat in a service or whatever, even when I've preached, God always exceeds my expectations. Sometimes I don't have an expectation even, and then God will anyway exceed that. But even with a great expectation, God can exceed that. So I trust that he will do that this morning, that he will exceed your expectation. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. I just want to ask you this morning, what is your greatest desire in 2015? If you really have to think about it, what is your greatest desire in 2015? What are you really passionate about that you want to see happen in your life this year? All of us, I'm sure, have thought about things that we want to do in the new year and things that we, you know, that we're really excited about. But you see, I want to say to you that if you really desire something, you will do something about it. Amen. You see, some of us desire to get fitter. But is it really a desire? Because we look back at the end of the year and then we think, oh, we didn't really get fit. So was that really a desire then, you know? Or I can go into a lot of things like that. We have these desires that seem like desires, but they aren't really true. Or they aren't really, because if you really want something, you will do something about it. It will happen. Otherwise, it was just a flaky desire. So what is your real desire this year? What are you going to do about that desire? For me, I look back on my life and shared with a couple of people this week. We had a pastor's retreat. All the pastors in the region got together on Tad and Mika's farm. And we had a wonderful time just getting to know one another, sharing a bit of vision for the year. And found myself talking to some people that I don't know that well about my running, my days when I used to run, and just thought about it again of how committed I was and how I was insane. I mean, I used to run twice a day. I used to run sometimes 20 Ks a day, 7 days a week. My record in 1 week was 156 kilometers. Now, you need a couple of new tires after doing that amount of mileage, okay? I mean, I was crazy. I was obsessed with running. I would train like, when I run now, I can't believe I would run 10 Ks without thinking. I would just do it and, you know, recover, and then that evening I would do another 10 Ks. It was like, and I got so fit, but you know, I had such a desire to be a great runner. I had such a desire to do well in my running, and so I put effort into it. I made sure that I practiced more than once a day, because I discovered, I remember, I used to train once a day, and then a coach came to me and said, no, you've got to put more mileage. If you want to be fit, you've got to actually put mileage on your legs. Now, obviously, there's a limit, because, you know, people can only run so far and so much. So I probably hit that limit. I don't know. I used to use all my racing juices up in my training. I trained like, you know, insane. But I had this desire, and so I did something about it. I woke up early and I trained and I made sure that I got to where I wanted to get. And obviously it became an idol for me. And the Lord said, listen, yeah, this is not what I've called you for. But I learned a few things out of it. And yeah, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes about this thing called desire. He says, pursue love. And then he says, desire spiritual gifts. So the first one is important. Pursue love. We must pursue love above all things. Before you even read on, make sure that you're pursuing love. Make sure that you're desiring love. Love of God, love for people, love for yourself. Love must be all over your life. So you must make sure that you pursue love. Otherwise, this thing will lead to you being just a clanging cymbal. Okay? Because Revelation, 1 Corinthians 13 says exactly the whole chapter about love, and I don't want to go into that now. I want to rather focus on the second part. So please hear me out here. If we do this thing of spiritual gifts without love, we're wasting our time. So please get that straight. Let's make sure that love is the foundation. Let's not do this without love. Amen. So he says, pursue love. That's important. But then he says, and. So he's talked about love, and he says, and. Make sure that you desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. See, desire, yeah, is quite a strong word. I looked up the Greek word and it talks here about covet. It talks about envy. It talks about be jealous over or be zealous for. So it's a really powerful word. So in other words, he's saying you must covet spiritual gifts. You must envy spiritual gifts. You must be jealous over spiritual gifts. You must be zealous for spiritual gifts. Then he says, but especially that you may prophesy. And at the end of that chapter, he says again, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. The whole chapter there is writing to this church, and they are radical. They are speaking in tongues too much. So he's trying to bring a balance here. He's trying to say, listen, yeah, speaking tongues is great, but I desire that you rather prophesy. And we'll see now why he says that. See, I want to say this morning that your greatest desire this year should be to do the will of God. Amen. Not to do things for God, to do the will of God. That's what I said last week. I said last week, in order for us to redeem the time and to be effective this year, I believe we must know the will of God and do the will of God. But part of doing the will of God, I believe, is to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, to desire spiritual gifts. And my prayer for us this year and for us as a church is that I don't want us to focus on packing the chairs. I don't want us to focus on making the hall nice. It looks awesome this morning. Once again, the team that we're here, yeah, thanks so much. And every week, the team prepares the hall. But I don't want that to be our focus this year. I don't want us to focus on trying to make church happen. Because, you know, we can always improve. We can always get more excellent. We can always, you know, make the natural look good. But my desire this year is that we create a place for people to encounter Jesus. Amen. And one of the ways in which we're going to do that as a church, I believe, is to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, but especially that we may prophesy. You see, the world is eagerly waiting. Romans 8 verse 19 says, the world is eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. I think one of the ways God is going to do this is through this thing called prophecy, the spirit of prophecy. Acts chapter 2 verse 17. God has made a promise for us, guys. This is not just for some people. You know, I think the lie out there in the church today is that some people can prophesy. Some people can do this. Some people can do that. But listen to what Acts chapter 2 says. This is why Jesus died. This is why Jesus rose and became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, like you said. This is why he went to heaven. Because he left this promise for us. It says, and in the last days, and he's quoting Joel, Chapter 2, the prophet Joel. He's quoting the exact same thing. Peter in his sermon to the first people when they got filled with the Spirit. He's saying, yeah, he said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit. You can underline this in your Bible. On all flesh. Say, turn to someone next to you and say, on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. Now, obviously, God never forces his Spirit upon someone. God never forces prophecy upon someone. You've got to desire it. That's what Paul writes to the Corinthians. You must desire spiritual gifts. Desire that you may prophesy. So we know how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come upon everyone. But for those who want Him, for those who want to have a relationship with Him, He fills us. He comes upon us powerfully, like He came upon Samson, like He came upon Elijah, like He came upon Moses, like He came upon the prophets of old. And He comes upon us if we want to, because it's free for everyone. When we know Jesus and we have a relationship with Jesus, His greatest desire for us is to walk in His Spirit, just like He walked. But you see, I believe that there's so many believers. We've got this Porsche parked in the garage. Or this Ferrari. Or this incredible car parked in the garage. We're filled with the Spirit. We're Spirit-filled Christians. But you know, we're rather driving around in our little skedonk or our little poochie. Nothing wrong with those. You see, we've got this incredible power parked inside of this garage. And we tell everyone we're filled with the Spirit. Look at this nice car, but we never drive it. We never enjoy it. We never use it. We don't seem to desire to use it. It's there. It's nice that we like labeled as these upper class people, you know, because we've got the Porsche in the garage. But we never use it. And so having the Holy Spirit, having been filled with the Spirit without prophesying, without flowing in the gifts, is like having this awesome car parked in the garage and you never drive it. It's God's promise to you and to me. Amen. It's not God's promise to some weird oaks out there or some first church believers that were radical. It's God's promise to you and to me. Guess what? Here and now. Amen. See, in the beginning, God spoke, guys. In the beginning, God spoke, and what happened? There was creation. Things happened. Let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God spoke. So, in the beginning, God spoke. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets spoke. Generally, God still sometimes intervened and He spoke, but generally God chose to work through specific people, His prophets. But yeah, it says in the last days. In other words, we are living in the last days. Amen. These are the very last days. Imagine, I mean, if the Bible wrote in the last days, what are we living in? We're living in the very, very, very last days. It's 2,000 years later. And if you just read the news and you look at what's happening in the world around us, it's scary. It is the last days, whether we like it or not. But He says here that I'm going to speak in these last days through all believers, through everyone who wants to be a spokesperson for me, through everyone who wants to shout my voice out from the rooftops. See, in the last days, all God's people can speak. Amen. All God's people can prophesy. All God's people can fulfill the function. And I'm not talking about the office of a prophet. The fivefold ministry office of a prophet is a specific office. It's a gift to the body of Christ. But I'm talking about spiritual gifts. I'm talking about just the plain gift of prophecy. And why are we so scared of prophecy? We think it's some spooky thing out there. You know what? It's not. Simply speaking the will of God. Speaking the word of God here and now. Sometimes it's prediction, but it's not only prediction. It's not foretelling. Speaking the word of God here and now. That is how God spoke throughout the scriptures. And see, Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 14. He carries on. And once he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. He says the following, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But, so once again he's just saying, tongues is good. It's good to speak in tongues. And I think we should desire to speak in tongues as well. But I think we should desire more to do this. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You see, guys, you and I need prophecy. Amen. We need edification. We need exhortation. We need comfort. And it's not only about speaking a nice word to someone. It's not about, you know, saying everything is fine. It's exhortation. It's edification. So exhortation sometimes will tell you, listen, yeah, what you're doing, you're missing the will of God here. I love you so much that I need to tell you, God is saying this to you. Edification is to build one up, and comfort is to really be a comforting voice for someone who's going through a tough time. But we need all three. We need edification, we need exhortation, we need comfort. It's always to build up, never to break down. But sometimes a word will be strong, telling you, listen here, this is contradictory to Scripture. This is contradictory to the truth. So I think it's so important. The body of Christ is struggling when we don't have the prophecy because we don't have edification, exhortation, and comfort by the Spirit. Amen. We've got a lot of nice words to say to each other. Got a lot of high fives to hand out and say, you're doing fine. And that's not wrong. But if it's not from the Spirit, then is it really going to be comfort? Is it really going to be exhortation and edification from the Spirit? So the body of Christ needs it. And I want to say this prophecy never contradicts Scripture. Prophecy will never be some wacky, way out word that you can't find in Scripture. Otherwise, it's a false prophecy. But it's in line with Scripture, and it's simply speaking the Word of God. So for this year, my prayer is that we don't live by bread alone. Amen. We don't live just by our natural stuff and our natural sight and our natural food. We live by the Word of God. And this is talking about the Word of God. And then he says the following. He says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Each believer, you and I this morning need prophecy and edification. Like you, what you did this morning was simply to bring a word of prophecy, to say Jesus is trying to tell us all that he's king. Amen. That he's not just a baby in a manger. He's not just a carcass on a cross. He's risen. He's king and he's Lord. That's the word of God for now, for us, and it's the word of God always. Because he'll always be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, sometimes we're so scared to step out. Sometimes we're so scared to speak the word of God. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesied is greater than he who speaks with tongues. I remember when I started to desire or understand this gift, I was in a small group once, and they gave us an opportunity to just close our eyes and to pray for someone else and to trust God for a word for that person. I thought, how is this going to happen, Lord? What are you going to say to me now? You know, is it going to be out of the flesh? Is it going to be a real word for this person? What? But I just said, Lord, I'm closing my eyes now and I'm trusting you to show me something for this person. And immediately I saw a picture. And then I spoke to the person and the guy's like, sure, that's amazing. That confirms exactly what I've been feeling. I wasn't sure about it, but now you've given me the direction. And I thought, sure, God, didn't I make this up? No, that was from God. And so I started to pray for people in front of church. And I was scared to pray for people in front of church when they used to come for ministry. And the Lord just said to me, no, that's your job. You're a cell leader. You need to trust me for a word. And I didn't just want to pray. I didn't even ask the guy what his need was. I remember I just thought, okay, Lord, let me just pray now and hope that it's the right word for the person. And that's what I did. And it's not always the right way. Sometimes we need to just, be friendly with the person. And well, I did. I think I said hello. And then I just, let's pray now. And then the Lord spoke to me, and this guy was like, how did you know? No, the Lord showed me. But you see, then we start to practice, and sometimes we miss it a little bit. Sometimes we don't say the right thing. It's a little bit, it doesn't quite resonate with the person. And you say, okay, sorry, I just missed it. I didn't hear quite from God. But that's fine. That's okay. That's how we practice. But if we never step out, if we never walk on the water and start to edify someone else, exhort someone else, or comfort someone else, who is going to? The unbeliever, the world out there will edify people and edify them into hell, comfort them into hell, exhort them to go to hell. But the church of Jesus Christ needs us, needs you and me to do it and to receive it. I remember one thing that released a word out of my mouth was that I was in Yonkershoek. I was running there in Stellenbosch in the mountains. It was an afternoon just before church service. Went up right to the top of the mountain. For those of you know Yonkershoek, the saddle up there, and I stood on the top and I felt the Spirit saying to me, listen here, you must just shout the name of Jesus now into this valley. And I thought, this is going to be so weird. Imagine if there's like oaks mountain biking or camping or, But I thought like, okay, but this must be God, because I don't want to do this. But the Lord just said, just shout my name into this valley. And it's awesome there because it echoes like for miles. So I thought, okay, I'm tired now, but I'm going to shout and then I'm going to run down as fast as I can and get out of here, But I did it. I shouted the name of Jesus and it echoed. I just said something like, Jesus Christ is Lord, and it echoed through the valley there. And it just released something in me. It released an ability to just be bold to speak the word of God. And I actually came back to church and testified of it. It was so cool because, now I could come to church and bring a little testimony of how God used me. It was so cool to be able to speak the word of God, to shout the word of God. It really released something in me. It released just that ability that God wants to give all of us. You don't have to be the super prophet. You must just have the ability and the boldness to speak the word of God. And he goes on, he says, unless he interprets. Obviously that's saying, he is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So ultimately, Whether it's tongues or prophecy, the church must be edified. The body of Christ must be edified. So I want us this morning, I want us to practice this a little bit. But before I get there, a couple more scriptures. Then he goes on in verse 24 of 14. He says, but if all prophesy, so yeah, he's talking about speaking in tongues again and prophesying, how are unbelievers going to relate to this? He says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. Secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declare that God is really among you. Not only do you and I need this, but guess what? For unbelievers to encounter God, prophecy needs to happen in church. Amen? The word of God and the will of God needs to be spoken so that unbelievers can be convicted and say, listen, yeah, God is truly among you. Because some people will not just be converted by a simple prayer and saying, you know, come forward, or an altar call or whatever. Some people know by the power of God that God is speaking. And I'm trusting God for that in church this year, that we obey God and we speak His will and we speak His word. And obviously what I'm doing is part of prophecy, but I don't want to be the only one to do that. I want people to come and take the mic. And obviously we do it in order. There's no chaos. Paul writes exactly that we need to have church in order. Sometimes order becomes so boxed in that no one can feel the freedom to speak. And I want to say to you guys this morning that that's my desire. Is that we don't just play church again. That we say, God, speak to us. Speak through your body. Speak through all of us. In cell groups, speak through all of us, Lord. It's not only the facilitator's job to make things happen. Yeah. If you're a facilitator and you're trying to make things happen, you're at the wrong place. The Holy Spirit must make things happen, but you facilitate other people to work in the gifts and to flow in the gifts. Unbelievers need it. Just the story some of you have heard of last year, when I think some of you on holiday when it happened, but I went to get my access card at the university, those cards that we need now to get into the university. So Belinda and I went to the finance department there, and she got her card, and then I sat in the chair. Then I stretched out my hand to this lady, and I just said, hello, I'm Alistair. And she was quite awkward about it. She had like cream on her hands, and so it was like weird. But anyway, she said, she carried on processing my stuff. And then she says to me, but why did you shake my hand? She says, are you from here? Are you like from South Africa? I said, yeah, I'm from South Africa. I mean, I'm like, you know, originally the Kingwells are from England, but you know, I'm from here. And she says, oh, because it's so weird that you shook my hand, because we don't do that around here. And I thought, that's weird. I thought I could just be friendly and shake her hand. Then I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, just tell this person that, you know, it wasn't you that shook her hand, it was Jesus. So I said to you, you know what, maybe Jesus has just shaken your hand. And then I just saw her eyes like going big like this. You know, when you mention the name of Jesus, it's just awesome. There's a reaction, okay? The name above every other name creates a reaction. So her eyes were like this. I said, you know, because Jesus lives inside of me. And so I represent Jesus. And maybe Jesus just touched you right now. She was like, tell me more kind of thing. So I said, do you know Jesus? She says, yes. No. I said, do you know him? I said, do you have a personal relationship? Because she said, yeah, I know about him. I said, no, do you know him? She said, no, I know about him, but can we know him? I said, yes, you can know him. I said, but you go, she said, yeah, no, every Sunday she goes to church and they preach and everything. I thought, you know, I just want to make sure that the people in our church know Jesus, like not know about him, they know him. And so I was shocked. I thought, God, some people are sitting in church, they don't know you. And it's not like I was shocked, because I know there's lots of people sitting in church that don't know Jesus. But may it not be shofar. May people sitting here not say that they must never say, I just know about him, but I know him. So I said to you can know him. And I just prayed for him. I said, tonight you must come pray to Jesus. And you must say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to, because I didn't want to lead her in a prayer. I just felt the Spirit saying, just encourage her to pray, because she needs to connect with me. So I just prayed for her. I said, Lord, reveal yourself to her. Thank you for her. Thank you that you love her, whatever. And she had tears in her eyes when I left. And I will go and follow her up, because I can't just leave her there. I want to ask her, how's it going with you and Jesus? But you see, that is prophecy. Amen. It's just saying that Jesus wants to reach out to you now. Jesus loves you. Jesus is interested in your life. He wants to get to know you. It's more, yes, I guess you can say it's evangelism, but it's just speaking the word of God to someone, saying to someone, you know what? Jesus wants to touch you. His presence is all over. It's the spirit of prophecy, guys. And you know, I think we're going to witness so much easier if we practice this. I think we're going to be able to witness to people. We're going to be able to tell the world about Jesus if we can start to practice in church. Just tell the people in church what Jesus is saying. How are we going to tell the unbelievers what Jesus is saying if we can't even tell our fellow believers what Jesus is saying? Spirit of prophecy. The last scripture here. John has this encounter in Revelation. The angel of the Lord is showing him so many things, and he's coming down and saying, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. He's like, whoa. And he says, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. Don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant of your brethren and who have the testimony of Jesus. Then he says the following. He says, worship God, for the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isn't that amazing? Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. See, sometimes prophecy is out there somewhere, but you know, we forget that prophecy is simply referring everything back to the cross, to what Jesus did, to the greatness of him. And that's why he says, yeah, worship God. And I believe this is going to come out of a place of worship, guys. Amen. This is going to come out of a place where we see God, and then we can see what he's saying and hear what he's saying. And it's not a place of, let's try and hear from God. Worship is the key. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I want us to desire that this year. That is my desire for you. Just to desire it. To desire it more and more. Because why? It's ultimately going to be the greatest witness for Jesus Christ. The word of God going out. Bloemfontein needs the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Bloemfontein needs not religion and not another church experience. We need a Jesus experience. And my desire is that people come in here and encounter Jesus, and we just let Jesus change people's lives. We don't try to change them. But what we must do is to start to speak the word of God, to start to prophesy. And it can start in intercession. It starts when we speak over this campus. It starts when we say, God, the city must be saved. It starts when we speak over your own circumstances, because some of us allow our circumstances to get the better of us. And you know where prophecy starts? In your own inner room and saying, you know, it's not about me, God, but I speak to these circumstances. I'm not tolerating this. This is what the word of the Lord says. I'm not going to live by my emotions. The word of the Lord says this. In circumstances, you will obey the word of the Lord. And then you speak to yourself like David did. That is prophecy. And then you start to speak about someone else and you start to say, God, what are you saying about that person? What are you saying about this person? Phil Marie, I just see a flower for you. God is saying that your year is going to be beautiful in many different ways. But I see like there's really just a picture of a flower over your head now. And God's saying he's with you. You're special. You're like his little flower. It's going to be a beautiful year. It's not going to be without challenges, but it's going to be beautiful. For Lucy, for you, I really sense the Lord is saying, he wants you to actually start to take steps. And you're going to start to pace yourself. You've been walking up to now, and God's been so pleased that you've walked. But you're going to start to run. Not fast, just in step with the Spirit. And you're going to love running. It's going to actually feel like flying. That's what I sense the Lord saying to you. In the Spirit. Does it resonate with you, Vilmarie? Does it make sense for you? Something God's already said to you? See, it shouldn't be something new. I can't be the first one. Maybe I was. Maybe she's got to go check now. Is that really what the Lord is saying? But I shouldn't be the first one to say something to a believer. A believer should hear from God. But you know what's nice? What changed my life the most is when someone just confirms something in my life. And I'm not quite sure. Is this really you, God? And someone says, this is what God is saying. And then it just changes your life. So we mustn't walk in the flesh and just want to, you know, be nice to people. Love is not just being nice. Love is saying, this is what God is saying. Sometimes love means you must repent of your sin now. You must turn to Jesus. That's what Paul says, love. Pursue love, but you desire to work in the Spirit. See, in conclusion this morning, guys, I want to say Jesus wants the spirit of prophecy to start to move in the church. Amen. Jesus wants to be glorified in our church so that He can be glorified in the world. So that He can move us out of here into the world and to start to prophesy over unbelievers. That unbelievers can see God is here. But you see, the Lord showed me a vision when we were at the camp now about a sword. He was giving us all as pastors a sword, and I believe it's for all of us. He was giving us a sword this year. And I read Revelation 10 verse, or 19 verse 11 to 16, and it talks about Jesus saying, I'm coming on a white horse. I am the word of God. And out of my mouth comes the sword. And I believe the Lord's saying to us that His word is under attack. His truth is under attack, but He's giving us the sword in our hands. He's saying, yeah, take it. And I believe the sword is this not only the word, this word, but it's prophecy. It's the word and the spirit. What is the spirit saying in this specific situation? And He's giving it, and He's saying, yeah, He's holding it before us. Do you want to take this? Do you want to run with this prophecy? Do you want to run with the gifts? Do you want to desire the gifts this year? Because I'm going to give them to you. I'm handing them to you, but you must take it. You can't just, it's not going to be forced upon you. So I believe God is holding us all before us, that word that's in His mouth. And Reinhard Bonk, I love what he says. Reinhard Bonk, the Lord said to him once, He said, you know what? The word in your mouth is like the word in my mouth. What you say is as if I'm saying it. And he can evangelize with such boldness because he knows that's God speaking. And some of us, we've all got to grow to that point. We can't just come with arrogance and say, you know, we grow to a place of maturity, but we must still believe that when we speak the word of God and when we know it's from God, it's as if it's from God. We're out of the picture. It's not about how we feel and how insecure we feel and how good we look when we bring this word. Let's comb our hair nicely and look all nice and then we'll bring the word of God. No, but then it's about you. Just bring the word of God. And the church will be edified. Amen. Unbelievers will be saved. We'll move forward, like Yohani said, in that army. That banner being raised above us, that's Jesus. So, guys, I want you to come forward again. And I want us this morning, I want us just to respond. And I want us to, you know, if we don't practice here, then we're never going to practice. Because we can say, okay, let's practice next week or in our cell groups. No, we're not going to do that. Because we won't practice. We'll get a lot of other stuff to do. So I want us to practice. And it's going to be a safe environment. Because I want some people this morning, God has given you a word for this church. And He's given it to you in the holidays. And you've just thought, I'll pray it. I'll intercede it. No. God wants you to speak it this morning. So I want you to prepare yourself. If you know that God has given you a word for this church, and I want you to come and share it. God has given some people a word for other people right now. We're gonna close our eyes actually for a while and just ask God to speak to us right now. But I want to ask you, what is God saying to you right now? So you ask the Lord, God, what are you saying to me as a person? I'm not going to tell anyone else. I might tell my wife because she needs to know. But I'm just going to say, God, what are you saying to me? And then secondly, what is God saying about 2015, just in general? Have you received a word from God for this year? Because God gave me a word for this year. I've never had one word I said to the Lord, this year, God, I want you to give me a scripture. And God gave me a scripture, actually confirmed it, which is so amazing because then I knew this is God. Just for me personally, and I want God to do the same to you. And if He hasn't done it yet, then ask Him to do it now. If He doesn't do it now, that's fine. But ask Him for it. What is He saying to you? What is He saying about someone else? Let's start to practice. Because you know, when we do it for this person and that person, that then we're going to start doing it for our families. We're going to start trusting God for unsaved people, for our rugby coach or players or our classmates or whoever. We're going to start giving words and it's going to change lives. Without effort and praying and fasting for people, we're just going to, and obviously there's a time for praying and fasting. Some people, you know, they're just so hard and so far from God that we need to pray for them. But a word will change them. Amen. Word from God. And then what is God saying to you about the campus? About Bloemfontein or about South Africa? What is He saying about this nation? So I want us to pray now. Before we even do that, if you need prayer, I want you to come afterwards. If you want to flow in the gifts, so we're going to have time to practice now, but if you feel there's a blockage and you want me to pray for you or want someone to pray for you, then please come for prayer. I want to pray that this thing gets unlocked in your life. And sometimes you might have to go outside this afternoon and shout somewhere on a rugby field that Jesus is Lord or whatever you must do to activate that boldness in you just to speak the word of God. Some of you must just say, God, I repent of just neglecting it because I've done it before. I've had this gift flowing in me before, but things got tough. Life got tough. Whatever you need to do, I want you to activate this gift in your life. Because guess what? There's a lie out there that says it's for some people. I read in scriptures for all people. Paul doesn't write to only some people. He says to that church. And by implication, it's to us as believers. Desire spiritual gifts. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord. Lord, I know for some people this is out of the comfort zone, Lord. Lord, I thank you for some who are going to step out in faith even right now, even today, Lord. For those who still take a while, God, I thank you that you take them where their faith is, Lord. But I pray for faith to be stirred in your people, your believers this morning. They would step out on the water, God. In Jesus' name.